We are in Romans chapter 10, continuing our message on sharing Jesus without fear. And I'm going to read the verse there in verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to read that again. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are coming before you, first of all, to say thank you. We have so much that, Lord, we can rejoice in right now. Even, Lord, dealing with difficult things, we realize that we have Jesus. Oh, God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross and the empty tomb. Oh, Lord, that he is risen. And we do thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your word tonight. Lord, as we talk about your word tonight, would you help us to grow in our love for it, and not only our love for it, Lord God, but our love to share it. Help us in this, Lord, and I pray our hearts would be attentive, and Lord, you'd meet needs tonight, you'd encourage us, and Father, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we have your place there. Everyone should have their handout. The first couple blanks here are, remember, you cannot fail, are the first two blanks. You cannot fail when you are obedient to share your faith. You cannot fail. It's impossible to fail when you are obedient to share your faith. You say, how do you get that, Pastor? Well, the Bible says it. The Bible says that we are to be obedient to the Great Commission. And we cannot fail unless the failure comes is just simply when we refuse to do it, when we refuse to share. So the next sentence is this: success is not dependent on your performance, just your obedience. That's so important, because sometimes you get the idea, and I've heard it in places that I've been, and it's almost like you're sharing your faith almost depends on your performance. You know what? That puts the emphasis on man's ability and man's power. And no, when I share my faith, it is not power of Brinson Jennings. I want it to be God's power. And so it's not dependent upon our performance. And as we share Jesus, the use of God's word must be a priority. And those are so important to understand. And there's our verse again in Romans 10:17. But number one here, when it comes to the word of God and sharing our faith, and not in fear, but sharing the Lord Jesus without fear, is this: the word of God is alive and active. Those are the first two blanks there. Number one, the word of God is alive and active. There I have the verse put there on your handout. Letter A, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God, and that blank is quick. That word quick is the Greek word zeo, and it simply means to make alive, to bring to life. It's living. The word of God is living in itself. And then it says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word powerful there, right after quick, is the Greek word energēs, where we get our English word energize. So if you can picture the image here that the Word of God is painting for the Word of God, is that it is alive, it is moving, it is active, and it is powerful. It makes a difference in what it's doing. It has a purpose. And that is, we'll talk more about it here in a minute, but the purpose is of the Word of God is to reveal God Himself. That is the purpose. And I'm thankful for verses just like this. You know, there, the second verse, letter B, Jesus is speaking here. He said, is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. That's another one that, hey, let's don't be dependent upon our flesh, folks. It profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus says, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. It is so important to understand that as we witness and share our faith without fear, that we put our confidence in God's Word. You know, I like what Spurgeon said. He said, it's better to preach five words of God's Word than 5 million words of man's wisdom. He said, man's wisdom and the words of wisdom may sound good and they may be attractive, but Spurgeon made this comment. He said, yet they have no heavenly life in them. There's no heavenly life in man's words, but my friends, when we share God's Word, it is alive and it is active and it is working. When I was up at St. Mary's Hospital today, visiting Miss Bonnie, and by the way, the pacemaker was put in successfully, no problems, and she's on her way home tonight. In fact, they were going to keep her, but she went on home. But as I was up there, and I got to meet her heart doctor, nice gentleman. He was very friendly, came up and shook my hand and whatnot. But he does those things, no telling how many times a day. And just all other things that revolve around heart needs, but that is his training, his profession, and what he does. This is a man that helps people. He's active, and not only is he active in that alive, but he's active and he's working. He's energized to help bring life to other people. Ms. Bonnie, without a shadow of a doubt, and he told her this, that after this procedure, you'll have a lot more life. You'll feel better. This pacemaker puts in, you'll have more energy. And you know, that's what the Word of God does. When you share the Word of God, it's immediately working on the other individual's heart. It's already working, and it's not going to cease working. When you give it to them, it's going to be faithful and reaching the very depths of their heart. It's the Word of God. It's not my words. It's God's Word. And we have to be confident in that. Look at 1 Peter there, letter C. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which, and that blank is, liveth. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, when a person gets born again, when there is that supernatural, spiritual work going on, we can't see it. But as the seed of the Word of God is planted and it falls upon a heart that wants to exercise the choice of their will and embrace it, a supernatural event takes place. That person is born again into God's family and they receive eternal life. That's awesome. That is the power of the Word of God. It gives life. And especially to those that will receive it, but it brings clarity to who God is, and that is the purpose of giving the Word of God, is to reveal God Himself. And that brings me to point number two: the Word of God is Jesus Christ. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. That Greek word logos there, found in that verse, we'll look at here in just a moment. It's found in John chapter 1 verse 1. But that word logos is the Greek word meaning speech or word or uttered by a living voice, embodies a conception or idea, what someone has said. You'll notice there at letter B, this word logos, which who is Jesus is referred to, the Word, letter B, this was a well-known term when the Lord came to earth among the Greek culture. In fact, the writings of Plato were well circulated. This was a famous Greek philosopher who his writings had been circulating for many years and during the time of the Greek-speaking world. And H.A. Ironside made this statement. He had spoken of the insolubility of many mysteries, but had expressed the hope that someday there would come forth, get this, a word, logos, from God that would make everything clear. And here's this Greek philosopher talking about that hopefully one day there would be a word from God that would come and make everything clear. And he just didn't even know it, but he was using the exact word that the Apostle John used in the text of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Logos. Jesus Christ is the Word. And that's where you see there in the blanket letter C, Jesus is the eternal Word. I just quoted John 1:1, and then you go down to John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. That's a very significant statement at the end of that verse. You can't just overlook that. He, who's He? That's Jesus. Hath declared Him. God, Jesus Christ, the Word, has brought knowledge about God the Father. He has indeed, Jesus came and dwelt in flesh, and who we'll be celebrating here in just another less than a month, celebrating His birth. He did indeed take upon Himself flesh. The Word did. Jesus Christ did. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, we read here, "And He," that's Jesus, "was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God." I want to tell you why it's so important to share the Word of God when we're sharing our faith without fear. It's because we really need to realize that we are just sharing with these people Jesus. He is the one that's going to do the work. He's the one that's going to make God known. He's the one that's going to open their hearts and open their minds. But for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know why God did all what He did. And it's not for me to know all the reasons what He did, why He did. But I will tell you this. He chose us. Voices. Broken vessels, weak, every one of us. He said, "I'm going to use you to share the Word. I'm going to choose you to reveal to people who I am." What an awesome thought, church, that God says, "Children, I'm going to call you and I'm going to use you to make Jesus known, to make the Word known." And so we see, I hope we catch this, because this has been a real encouragement to me and has helped me grow in my understanding of, you know, we call witnessing. But it just gives it that much more meaning that, listen, our witnessing is not about a performance. And it's not about, a contest. It's not a competition. No, it's simply obedience to the Word of God and just sharing Jesus and letting God do all the work. And not to feel bad when you are not succeeding in man's eyes, because that doesn't matter. Aren't you glad for that? It'd be crazy, you know, you got some things that some companies and some professions, occupations that work off commission. And so anybody here that perhaps there's some of you that are currently in that type of work, that you work off commission, there's pressure there. There is pressure to perform. I mean, when it comes to, I remember my dad was an insurance salesman for, oh boy, I know Dad probably sold for, as far as I can remember, 15, 20 years. And I can remember times he did really well. And boy, he did well, and he'd be able to go to these conventions. Me and my mom would go like to Disney World, and they'd go out to California, and they'd have, because he sold a lot of insurance at that time. But there were times Well, I can remember, I don't know, recall ever seeing my dad so stressed out in my life. He'd just be frustrated, and he wasn't selling the insurance. He wasn't performing, and there was that pressure there about that, because there wasn't necessarily a lot of fruit. But I'm thankful. When it comes to sharing my faith, it doesn't depend upon performance. It doesn't even depend upon the results that we see. What is the most important, and all that really matters, church, and forgive me for beating a dead horse, but all that matters is that we just do it. Can I get an amen right there? Only if you agree, I hope. But that's something that God has helped me with, that I just need to do it. Don't worry about making excuses that either I'm not talented, or I don't see much fruit, or no one ever listens to me. That Jesus never said, now listen, only share if you get people to start listening to you. That would not be good, because that would make Jesus a failure. Most people rejected him and his message. But we see thirdly here, the Word of God, in those two blanks, the Word of God is made clear by the Spirit of God. Those are the two blanks there. The Word of God is made clear by the Spirit of God. You see, the Word of truth and the Spirit of truth work hand in hand. And that's another thing I'm so very grateful. As I share God's Word, and we'll talk about that more next time in our next message, but as I do share God's Word, and by the way, as we have opportunities to share God's Word out in public, or, you know, wherever the context the Lord gives us, it's not always the best idea to have the family Bible to do that, okay? You can intimidate people. But you do want to have a small Bible. I didn't bring one with me. Gideon's is an example. Even on your phone, I got mixed emotions about, you know, using the Bible, especially when it comes to sharing your faith, because some people are a little reluctant. You know, what is this you're showing me on your phone? You know, other than something physical to handle, I think it can make a difference with some people. So you just have to be careful. Some it wouldn't matter. But the fact of the matter is, having God's Word readily available, and when you share that Word, the Holy Spirit just takes over and starts doing a great work in their hearts. Look at the verse there in John chapter 16 on your notes, 8 through 13. I don't have actually 8 through 13. It's just verse 8. Ran out of room there. But it goes on to expound upon what each of these mean. But it says here, and when He is come, you can note that that's talking about the Holy Spirit. When He is come, He will reprove. That word means to convict or to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Again, the work there belongs to the Lord. The work belongs to the Lord. And that's something that we can take great confidence in, that when it comes to sharing our faith without fear, that knowing the Holy Spirit is at work. You know, again, the different things that we come across and on the mission field is really amazing compared to the benefits and the blessings of living in America, which I'm not complaining. I'm thankful for the medical attention that we have here, the medical professionals that we have. I'm grateful. But you go to places like Niger. And I remember helping out with medical clinics and going to places like Ethiopia. Listen up, please. There is an importance there to understand, like, some of the things that are going on. And that is one of the things, is that what people receive there in third world countries, it would surprise all of us how they get so excited about. One of them is an eye procedure that's not that difficult to be done here. Now, it can be, and it can be dangerous, but that is having cataracts removed. Has anybody ever done that? Has anybody? Okay, we got several that have had. Well, you go to some of these countries, and honestly, these people who have never seen an eye doctor in their life, these medical missions and humanitarian groups may come over and you would just see, just seriously, hundreds, even thousands of people coming to this clinic. Because why? Because the majority of them are completely blind because of cataracts. They can't even see. And they've gotten word that there is a people here that if you will go and wait all day and perhaps even a couple days, if you get there in time and if you stay in your place, they will give you your sight. They will make you able to see. And that is exactly what happened. I read one story there in Ethiopia where this doctor was in line to help hundreds. And it went a little bit like this. His name was Dr. Matt Oliva, and from Oregon. And I'm not sure if I'm saying this right. Somebody correct me if I pronounce this wrongly. But is it ophthalmologist? Ophthalmologist, yeah. All right. So they basically do surgery on eyes and specifically around cataracts. But they were doing this, and he was explaining what he was going to do. He says they maneuver. He tries to maneuver the gray cataract out of the slit he just made in the patient's eyeball. And so upon that slit, and it's very he has to do it very carefully, of course, but when that comes out and there's a healing process for a couple hours, they give them a bandage and they pull it out, the cloudy, foggy-looking element there. Almost looks like a contact lens being removed, but it's foggy. And they pull those out, and after a while, a couple hours, they take those bandages off, and you should see how those Ethiopians respond. You would think they seriously just won the lottery. They can't believe it. They're all laughing and smiling. No teeth at all, but they're smiling and they're laughing. And they're all excited because they have their sight. And I want you to know, you know what that is a picture of? That is a picture of the Word of God getting into someone's life and doing surgery. Opening them up, just like we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And as you give them the Word of God, and if they even remotely respond, like we see those Ethiopians, they came, they lined up. And as a person responds to the Word of God, boy, the light just shines. God's Word just opens them up. And then as we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the incorruptible seed finds place. And that individual, by faith, is born again. But it came by faith because they heard the Word of God. And so, church, I just want to leave you with this thought and this challenge. What are we doing as individuals on a daily basis to try to get people the Word of God? Because there's no hope outside of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank You for Your Word, and Lord, I want to thank You that You did surgery on us. Oh, God, I remember when You opened me up. I remember when I got under conviction. Oh, Lord, and knew that something needed to happen. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand the importance of Your Word when it comes to sharing Jesus without fear. Lord, remind us in our hearts tonight that it's not in our power. When it comes to sharing, it's Your power, it's Your Word, it's Your Spirit. It's You, Lord Jesus, doing the talking. We're just simple vessels. We're just simple voices. Lord, help us to be successful by being obedient. And Lord, we'll give You all the glory for the things that take place in the future, even in this church, as we take this command seriously.